The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony, how are you?
Boker Tov, there's been quite a lot of reactions from some of the things that we've been discussing this week. Apparently, one listener wrote in with a picture to show me that you can get vegan yogurt in South Africa. So look out for that. I'm not going to mention any brand names, but I did see a picture of it, and apparently there is such a thing. We also spoke about this issue of Amnesty International getting involved in suggesting that Israel should provide vaccines to the Palestinian Authority. Apparently they are behind the game, because in today's news I read that Israel has apparently secretly delivered dozens of COVID-19 vaccines to the Palestinian Authority. Apparently that is really to cover special humanitarian cases, so a relatively small number at this stage. And the article goes on to say that even Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has not been vaccinated himself, so they are keeping these vaccines for very, very special cases. But Israel apparently is in discussion with the Palestinian Authority to provide them something like 2 million vaccines over the next couple of months. And in addition to that, the Palestinian Authority has been in discussion with Russia about potentially getting 4 million doses of their Sputnik vaccine, which is being produced in Russia. So it sounds to me like the Palestinian Authority might get vaccines before you guys do.
That's, yeah, well, you know what? Let's not put South Africa in the running. What's so interesting, we just did a very good interview with Sean Sachs. He is the senior researcher at NGO Monitor, and he offered us a lot of insight. And what you're saying is so interesting, considering that Israel has absolutely no obligation whatsoever to provide any form of healthcare to Palestinians. They have their own government, and that has its own funding. The fact that they're doing it, I think, just is an amazing testament.
I think there's a combination of things happening here. I mean, I think, you know, it would be a fair statement. I believe very passionately in the statement that says that there are no friends, there are just interests. And the question is, why would Israel have the interest to provide vaccine to the Palestinian Authority, particularly when we currently don't have enough to go around in Israel itself? I mean, I described some of the scenes that I saw at the vaccination center with people desperate to get vaccinated. I think there is an interest for Israel to ensure that they have a good health from people within the Palestinian Authority area. Let's not forget that a lot of those people are coming over to Israel to work. They are fulfilling important roles in our economy in terms of, you know, providing work where potentially Israelis cannot or will not or do not fill particular job functions. And so in order to keep that particular economy flowing, there seems to be a reason why we would want the Palestinian Authority to vaccinate their population. There might be other reasons as well, but I was just trying to work out, rather than thinking, well, everything is done benevolently, and there may well be some sort of a humanitarian aspect to this. But I think that people are really satisfying interests rather than trying to just be good citizens in the most part.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your third lockdown tonight.
Yeah. We're talking about it, but we don't really know a whole lot about, you know, all the details. I mean, the laws are still supposed to come out during the course of today. We do know what we read in the press, or we think we know what we read in the press, because a lot of it is speculation. But apparently there's going to be much, much more stringent enforcement. Something like 5,000 people have been deployed, police and military people, to enforce this particular lockdown to make sure that the numbers go down. Unfortunately, the numbers of people newly infected by COVID-19 continue to be very high. We've spoke about numbers in excess of 8,000. Those levels are still continuing. Some horrendous stories about people who are breaking social distancing rules. A wedding celebration that took place in Beitar Elite, a city which has got a very, very high population of Haredim. And that particular city is famous in Israel for having the highest rate of positive COVID-19 tests in the country. And yet they have this massive wedding by the Hasidic Toldot Avraham Yitzchak sect. The grand rabbi was marrying off his grandson. No masks to be seen. police going in to effectively break up the wedding. Some video footage coming out showing one of those policemen actually getting a blessing from the grand rabbi rather than fulfilling his job to try to break up the wedding. As I said, you know, people standing shoulder to shoulder, crowds of people, no masks. I don't understand why people are still doing this, especially in a city where we now have evidence that they are the highest number of COVID-19 cases in the country. And it just doesn't, I just can't fathom out why people are still behaving in this way. And we've seen, on the other hand, a number of pronouncements from the Haredi community, from the non-Hasidic or ultra-Orthodox community, particularly in the form of Rabbi Kanievsky, who has come out saying that people should adhere to the rules, that people should be vaccinated. He hasn't quite yet said, and close down the schools and institutions of learning next week in accordance with the government guidelines, because people are waiting to hear him say that, but he hasn't yet said that, so it's not quite sure. We're not quite sure whether the Haredi education system will or will not operate according to government rules next week, which is effectively that they need to be closed down. So unfortunately, there's still a lot of uncertainty about the upcoming lockdown. We do know that schools will be closed. We do know that there'll be a lot of limitations of movement, but the exact extent of it still is not quite known. And the other item of discussion that's come up, which I think has been quite fascinating, has been the issue of the green passport. Now that we are vaccinating so many people, how will we use those vaccines to enable those people who've been vaccinated to live a slightly easier life than the people who have not yet been vaccinated? And the idea of a green passport has come out, which I think will be a kind of an app on your phone, from what I gather. It's not going to be a hard copy document. I think it's going to be an app on your phone, which apparently will be valid for something like 6 months. There's also already talk about some countries like Cyprus being willing to accept people visiting there without the need to go into quarantine, providing they have a green passport. People who have traveled abroad and returned back to Israel who have a green passport will not be required to go into quarantine. So there does seem to be a move towards giving some advantage to people who have been vaccinated on the basis that it is believed that they are in a safer situation than people who have not yet been vaccinated. So quite a number of different discussions on different levels going on. Still no sign of the new stock of the vaccine that we're expecting to come, not from Pfizer and also not yet from Moderna, although there was talk about the Moderna vaccines arriving. I saw it written Thursday. I'm not quite sure whether they meant today or next week. I think it's more likely to be next week. But that certainly seems to be on the cusp of fruition now. Lots of talk about whether we can mix vaccines. If you've had the first dose of Pfizer, can you have the second dose of Moderna? And the Moderna representative saying, under no circumstances mix and match vaccines, and under no circumstances try to get away with only one dose. So there is a very, very clear message that's being sent by the representatives of Moderna to say, don't try any clever tricks, because it's likely not to end up well for people. So those are really the discussion points. But as of midnight tonight, we do know that we're going into a very stringent lockdown, and probably including quite a stringent curfew, 7 to 7 curfew, 7 in the evening to 7 in the morning. And, you know, once again, we're not exactly clear how that will work out for us. In other words, if you have an emergency situation, I'm guessing there will be some sort of a way of allowing you to go out. But none of that has been made clear to us at the moment.
Incredible. Just getting back, I see when you're talking about the green passport, you know, the minute something's on paper, it can be forged, I suppose. And I'm just thinking in terms of human nature and obviously using, you know, what we've come to learn about corruption. But, you know, I see like airlines like Qantas. You can't fly on Qantas unless you've actually been, you've had the COVID vaccine. They won't let you fly unless you've actually had the vaccine. So that's interesting.
What we've seen up until now is that a lot of the airlines have said, don't fly unless you can produce a negative test within the last 72 hours. Some countries have said if you produce a negative test within the last 72 hours, you don't need to enter into quarantine. I think South Africa is one of those countries that people can travel from abroad with a negative test and not have to go into quarantine if they can produce that test. But it is interesting that people are now moving, that organizations, airlines, countries are now moving towards requiring not the test, but the vaccine. And you need to obviously prove it. And if you think that a forgery is unique only to hard copy documents, you need to think again.
Trust me, these
apps are going to be forged and people are going to be going wild trying to replicate them in order to allow people to move around. It'll be very unfortunate.
Just have the vaccine. I don't understand. It's not going to cost you any money. Have the vaccine. You'll get it legally. You know,
well, so hopefully people have the access to it. The problem is, of course, that so many people in the world still don't quite have access to the vaccination. And so those people might well be incentivized to try and somehow forge the green passport. But hopefully within Israel, within the next, let's say, 3 to 4 months, I'm really hoping to see that the stocks will be replenished and that we will get beyond the 50-60% level of people being vaccinated. So we can honestly say that as a society, most of us are now being inoculated and we can move forward to do things in a slightly different way.
Yeah. Anthony, can we keep the Benjamin Netanyahu story for next week? Because that's when his court hearing starts. But just very, very briefly, Israel has been accused of carrying out attacks against targets in Syria overnight.
Yeah, I mean, so this is becoming an ongoing story that's now no longer on the front pages so much. It's more in the middle to the back pages, not quite on the sports page yet. But apparently Israel was involved has been accused of being involved in targeting locations in southern Syria. Apparently there were explosions heard over Damascus last night. And the accusations suggest that the strikes were launched from the Golan Heights rather than airline attacks. None of that has really been confirmed. Certainly Israel wouldn't respond to it. And it's fascinating that the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah, has come out talking about how Hezbollah has managed to increase the number of precision-guided missiles that they have at their disposal to attack Israel. And I think that a lot of these attacks that Israel has carried out against targets in Syria are really about two main things. The one is an Iranian presence, strengthening the Iranian presence in Syria, and Israel is determined to somehow get rid of the Iranian presence in Syria, and certainly the Iranians have been attacked a lot, their bases and their people, representatives and their equipment in Syria. But the other thing is also the movement of equipment and movement of weapons, movement of ammunition to Hezbollah through Syria. And I know that Israel has been particularly sensitive about these precision-guided missiles and to the extent to which they might present a threat to Israel. So, of course, Nasrallah knows this and uses it as a bit of a lever to try to make people feel threatened in Israel. Business as usual, I guess, is the best way to describe last night's probable attack in Syria by Israeli forces.
All right. Anthony, that is where we leave it. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I'm out of here from Monday. So Howard is back. So thank you very, very much. It's always good catching up. And thank you very much for just keeping me updated on what's happening in Israel.
Have a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom. And we look forward to talking to Howard, of course, on Monday again. And I'm sure that you'll be happy enough to get back to your usual routine.
Listen, it's the best start to my day. Make no mistake. And it's a huge privilege to be able to do this. Anyway, Anthony, Shabbat Shalom. And we'll catch you on my radio on Monday with Howard Feldman. That's Anthony Reich. He is our Israel correspondent.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.